See if you have a right for him to answer your prayer or if you don't have the right. See, that's the part that he looks at. And so we come to chapter 8, verse 1, and Paul says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." There is therefore now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Because now is talking to us now as well as it was back when Paul originally penned this. There is therefore now no condemnation. Don't you like that? Yeah, but I'm still messing up. Shut up! And just listen to the man. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And I talked you through that last time we studied this, that not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit does not mean that now you're perfect and now you don't do anything wrong. Because he just has spent 7 chapters letting you know you can't not do anything wrong. You're not that good. And so therefore, God doesn't judge you based on how good you are anymore. He judges you based on how good Jesus was. If you've received Jesus, then you get the goodness, the righteousness that he had credited to you. See? So when he says here, who does not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, he's saying a person who doesn't think of their righteousness of God and their right to be in front of God based on how good they are in the natural, in my body, what my hands do, where my feet go, what my eyes are looking at. But a person that walks according to their spirit man and says, but my spirit's born again. I may be messing up in the natural. Now, that doesn't mean you have a right just to go ahead and do it. That's not what we're saying. But now you're walking knowing who you are. And this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. That you have a righteousness consciousness. That you walk around all the time thinking of yourself in the spirit. Who you are in your spirit. Your spirit is different than it used to be. Your spirit is not like your body. And your spirit, let me tell you, your spirit is not like your mind. Your mind, how many of you know your mind thinks some bad things? Is that right? Your mind has thought some things that you would never want the people here tonight to know about. Is that right? Now, I'm not talking about when you were not saved, when you were not with Jesus. I'm talking about with Jesus. Stuff has crossed your mind. Now, you may not have given place to it, which you shouldn't. You may not have let it be there very long, which you shouldn't. But it was there, and you let it be there longer than you should have let it be there. How many of you are glad that your spirit doesn't think that anymore, but your mind still does, but your spirit doesn't? Is that right? Paul said, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who don't walk after their mind and the way that their mind thinks and what their body is doing, but they walk and say, no, wait a minute, I'm inside a new person. My heart, my spirit is right with God. And he says, well, if you are a spirit right with God, even if your body's messing up, even if your mind is thinking wrong thoughts, then there's no condemnation for you because God's looking at you in the spirit. Now, let me just put a little parentheses in here again. That does not mean, have fun, pal, do whatever you want to do because you got it made in the shade now. That's not what that means, okay? We're still responsible for what our mind thinks and what our body does. But there's no condemnation because God says, that wasn't you that did that. That was your body. Get it under control. But listen, but it wasn't you. It's like having an evil brother. And mom says, you're the older brother. Get him under control. Subdue him. It'll be my pleasure, right? And you get him down. And what my older brother used to do is he'd kneel on my arms and thump on my chest. And that ain't right, but he would subdue me. And I had to wait till he turned around. Get him in the back of the head and run. Run like a scared chicken, but I got him one. I nailed him. See? And so your flesh is your responsibility, but it's not you. Everybody say this. Say, I'm not my flesh.
I'm not my flesh.
But my flesh belongs to me. I'm responsible for my flesh. But I am not my flesh. I'm a spirit born again, right with God. And God looks at me, the spirit man, righteousness of God. That's who I am. See, That's why there's no condemnation for you, because you're not the flesh. Now, if you were the flesh, there'd be condemnation. But you're not. You're the new person. Now, I want to continue to read, because Paul hits this a little bit later, and it gets very specific about what we need to do. Notice again, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, the Old Testament law, could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now notice very carefully verse 5. See, verse 4 says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk, and he gives these two phrases again, according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, in verse 5, he's going to explain to us again what the difference is between walking according to the flesh and walking according to the Spirit. Notice verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on. Set their minds on. Do you see that? The things of the flesh. Now he's telling us what it means to walk in the flesh. He's not saying, when he's saying walk in the flesh, he doesn't mean doing bad things as opposed to good things. That's not what he's saying. When he says walking according to the flesh, he's saying you're thinking about your flesh. You're thinking about how good you are. Even if you're doing good things, you're putting your mind on the good things that you're doing. And so the flesh is good. How many of you remember that in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees in the middle of the garden? There was the tree of life, and there was another tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told Adam, do not eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, if I was God, I would have said, I would have made a tree of the knowledge of good, and then another tree that was the tree of the knowledge of evil, and said, don't eat the tree of the knowledge of evil, just eat of the tree of the knowledge of good. But God didn't. God said, don't you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you understand? Because good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, are all on the same tree. God's saying, I don't want you to come over and to say, well, let's see, good and evil. No, I'm going to choose good. God says, no, you don't even eat off that tree, good or evil. You eat off the tree of life. And that's a type in the Bible of the inside of you that has a spirit inside of you. You need to be eating from the part of you that was born of the Spirit of God, the tree of life, not of this other part of you that can, with logic and decisions and choices, determine what's good and what's bad. God said, don't even eat off of the whole tree, good or bad. You focus on this other tree, the tree of life. Are you getting this? Are you seeing this? So even if you're focusing on the good stuff that you're doing, he said, no, it's the wrong tree. That's the flesh still. But it's good, but it's still the flesh. You're putting confidence in your flesh. And you need to have your confidence in what Jesus has done for you in your spirit, the free gift of righteousness. Are you catching this? See? So he says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. I'm doing this. I'm being a good little girl today. I'm being a good little boy today. Look, I didn't cuss today, did I? I didn't cuss all flipping day, right? Right? See, and you begin to think, see, I'm right with God. No, you're right with God not because you didn't cuss, or because you didn't cop an attitude, or because you didn't smoke today, or none of that. No, you're right with God because the Lord Jesus died in your place and handed you his righteous acts as a free gift to be used to your credit, not his. He made a deposit in your spiritual bank account that is so large, it is never not enough. Do you understand? So therefore, it'd be like, you know, God says, okay, it takes 500 million, billion, zillion dollars to make it into heaven. And then you don't cuss today and you say, check, look at that. Check that out, God. See, I'm right with you. Look at that. And God says, oh, there's a penny. All right. So now you have a penny in your account. What happened to all that other? Oh, well, see, if you're going to try to deposit enough, well, then that doesn't get credited to you because you're living according to the flesh, what you can do. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. See, don't try to be good enough. Don't put confidence in what you can do. That doesn't mean that you're not trying to be obedient. But you're not thinking about how now that you did something right today, that you actually prayed today or something, that now you're okay. No, you're okay because Jesus deposited his righteousness in your spiritual account. You have a right to come to God because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't set your mind on what you're doing in the flesh for God. Set your mind on who you are because of what Jesus has done. Man, this thing's a free gift. Even when I mess up, I'm not messed up. You understand? Man, I'm still in relationship with God. My spirit is still the righteousness of God in Christ. No, now I still need to come and confess my sin to God and receive forgiveness from him. But I wasn't thrown out of the family. Man, I'm still a citizen. Is that right? How many of you know you break the law in America, you're still a citizen. You have rights. Like I told you, they lay you down. You have the right to remain. You're a criminal. But you still have rights because you're a citizen. And let me tell you something. When you sin, it breaks fellowship with God, but you're still in relationship with God. You have rights. Take the rights. Use the rights. You have the right to confess your sin and to receive forgiveness now before the Lord. Amen. Now listen, I want you to look at verse 5 again. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, it's a simple sentence structuring issue, but I want you to see something that's very important. And by the way, those of you that are called to be teachers, or you have an anointing, a gifting, a calling, a desire to be a teacher, let me tell you what one of the most basic fundamental principles of teaching the Word is. And that is not trying to come up with something to teach, but just taking what the Bible says. These words of God are so filled with truths and nuggets of revelation from God. Our job is to pick up a part of what God said and say, look at this. Look at it from this angle. Look at that. Look at it from this angle. Look at this. Do you see this? It may be something that you think, well, it's just that's so obvious. It's so simple. Yeah, but until we focus on it and get the revelation of it in our hearts, it doesn't smack and strike our hearts and our minds to where we begin to walk like that's true. And the simplest thing can be the most life-changing to a person's heart. Now, I want you to notice this. It seems simple, and it seems like, well, of course, that's what it means. But listen to what the principle is here that he shares in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, listen to these next four words. Set their minds on. In fact, I just circled those four words in my Bible because they also need to be repeated in another part of this verse. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, now insert those words, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Isn't that what that means, the way that verse is laid out? Listen, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. They're thinking about the things of the flesh, the natural realm, what I'm doing and how I'm doing and whether I measure up and do people like me and am I doing good or am I doing bad and am I having an influence? Can I do this? I don't know if I can make an impact on my world. Can I really make a difference? Can I be successful in the affairs of my life? Can I do it or can I not? Flesh, see, natural. Setting your mind on yourself and how you're doing. But he said, but those who live according to the Spirit, see, the ones with no condemnation, they take their mind and they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Who am I? I'm born again. I'm the righteousness of God. I've got a covenant with God. God has made promises to me. God loves me. God is proud of me. God has forgiven me. God has changed me. I will be with Him forever. He'll never leave me nor forsake. See, these are things that are not the natural things that will confront you every day and slap you in the face. You're confronted with natural things every day. But the spiritual things, you have to take your mind and set your mind over on these spiritual things and remind yourself and keep your and stay mindful of what's going on in the unseen realm. Is that right? See, He's talking to us about how to live according to the Spirit. Stop just looking at the natural and remember who you are. Can you imagine how our lives would change if we could remember who we were? All day long, whatever you do, I don't care whether you have a job or whether you don't. Can you imagine every affair of life being conscious of the fact that you're right with God? And that when you pray, God listens to you. He's with you. He's in you. Can you imagine the power, the confidence, your mind, flood your mind and heart when you're talking to somebody, look them right in the eye because you know who you are. See, you're aware that God is with you. And He said everything you put your hand to would prosper. Can you imagine? Can you imagine walking around with that kind of confidence? And if something, some bad news comes, you say, ain't no big deal. Do you realize I got a covenant with God? You see what I'm saying? See, that's mindful of the things of the Spirit. That's being mindful of the things. But see, we have to work at that and do this on purpose because life has a way of slapping you all the time and reminding you who you are in the flesh. Doesn't it? Knock you down and say, oh, yeah, you think you're all bad? Look, don't you remember? I remember I was driving in the car one day with my family some years ago. My wife's there. My daughter's in the back seat. My son's in his car seat in the center. And everything's cool. Dad's taking his family out for a nice ride. He's quiet in the car for a change. And breaking the silence, my four or five-year-old in the back, daughter, says, hey, Mommy, is Daddy a dork? Now, Dad's supposed to be the hero, you know. My dad could beat up your dad and all that kind of stuff, you know. And here she's busting out, is Daddy a dork? Well, you know, I wanted to answer it first. I thought I better answer this before my wife does. But then I thought, nah, she's got this one covered. I mean, she's gonna straighten her out right now. And so Kim quickly responded by saying, And I'm just listening, looking straight ahead. I see what's going on here. Finally, Kim gathers herself and turns around and says, why no, sweetie? Why would you say something like that? She said, because you called him a dork. Oh, I see what's up here. Dad goes to work, brings home the bacon. Mom stays home and talks trash about Dad all day long. I see what's going on. Well, she doesn't. That's not true. But let me tell you something. Stuff like that happens all the time. Little comments are made, little facial expressions. Things that are supposed to happen that don't happen. People that are supposed to esteem you, they don't. And if you let life speak to you, you will seem like just a mere human. One of my favorite phrases in the Bible is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul says, I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as the spiritual people, but as the carnal, as the babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you're not able to bear it. And you're still not able. For where there are envy, strife, and division among you, listen, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? That just, even though he's rebuking them, it blesses me to remember we shouldn't be acting like mere men. We are superhumans. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, the presence and Spirit of God is within us. We're the righteousness of God. And if we look in the mirror and look at the natural and let the social mirror of life reflect to us who we are, you will misjudge yourself. Limit yourself down to what a normal human being can accomplish and become. But if you can look into the Word and set your mind on who you are in the Spirit, you can realize, man, I can soar and accomplish great things in the kingdom of God. I can change the circumstances that I'm in right now, regardless of how devastating they are or strong they are, because the weapons of our warfare pull down strongholds. Isn't that right? See, but you've got to set your mind on this. This is what I'm talking to you about. You need to be always conscious of the fact that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, and God's smiling at you. That's my child. That's my kid right there. That's my kid right there. And the devil says, I'm going to whip him. God says, try it, man. Take you out right now, buddy. I mean, didn't God say, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake? If God is for us, who can be? Doesn't the Bible say that? He's on our team. But see, the Word speaks a language that is backward to your natural mind. Your mind has been trained to believe what it sees in the mirror and what it sees in the social mirror. In other words, the way people perceive you. And they don't respect you, so you act with no respect. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
You know, if I could set you up in the natural and get all of the peers and all the people that you come into contact with to play a trick on you, and for the next 90 days to esteem you, to respect you, to encourage you, to tell you what a great person you are, how brilliant you are, how smart. Do you know by the time the 90 days was finished, you'd be a different person, even though it was a practical joke? Did you know that? Because you would begin to look in the social mirror and believe some things about yourself. Well, see, that's not what God wants. God doesn't want you to look in the social mirror. He wants you to look into the mirror of the Word and to be conscious of the fact that, you know what? Man, I've got the authority of the name of Jesus. I've got authority over all the power of the enemy. Whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Do you see that? I'm right with God. I've got a right to change some things around here. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. See, you see things differently. Like Jesus did. Oh, there's not enough bread. Give it to me. Is that right? Give it to, instead of saying, Oh, man, we only got 4 burritos? Gee, there's 5 of us? Yeah, you guys go ahead. Man, you might grab those things. Give them to me. Here, give them to me. Now, if David says that, don't give them to David. don't give them to David. I tried that before. He didn't do with them what Jesus did. I'm just joking. Our minds think that the Word is backwards. I remember when I was in about 5th grade and we learned this rhyme in school. And it just stuck with me. I don't know why. Just goofy little thing. It's called the backward rhyme. And it goes like this. One bright day in the middle of the night, 2 dead boys got up to fight. Back to back, they faced each other, drew their swords and shot each other. A deaf policeman heard the noise, came and shot the 2 dead boys. Now, if you do not believe this lie is true, ask the blind man. He saw it too. And you know, that's the way the Word seems to our mind. We're reading it and it's saying you're the righteousness of God in Christ. And even though I'm teaching this and we're looking at what the Bible says, your mind is listening to me. As brilliant of a teacher as I am tonight, I mean, your mind is listening to me and thinking that I'm talking about somebody else. Do you understand? Because you know you. You're looking at the flesh. And God's trying to say, that's not who you are. Don't look at the flesh. I have changed you on the inside. I have made you a new creation. You are an eagle that will soar and rise above the mere human beings of this earth. But we've got to think that way. We've got to believe this truth. And I noticed that when I begin to be conscious of what Jesus has done for me, that I'm righteous, and not focus on my sin and my shortcomings, but focus on the fact that, man, He did it for me. He did it for me. Man, it's solid because He did it for me. All of a sudden, the confidence level just rose up to where I'm walking down expecting things that I do to be successful and effective that I don't even know what I'm doing. You understand? But I it's going to work. How do you know what to do? I know what to do. God's with me. It's going to work. And I'm not talking about being religiously weird either. Bless God, God's with me and just trying. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just a confidence. And you're like Peter, you're walking on the water before you realize you are. You know, and the wind starts blowing and you start to think, oh, dude, I'm out of here, bro. Can't reach the boat anymore. Why? Because you knew something. You knew something. This is the way that God is trying to get us to walk. To not think in the natural, but to think and set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Romans 12, verse 1 talks about the flesh, and it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, there's the flesh. We don't just let the flesh do whatever it wants to do. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. But then verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. See, your spirit caught hold of the righteousness of God and maybe even received some revelation, but your mind will continue to think that old bad stuff and see yourself the way you used to be instead of seeing your new self, see? And what we need to do is realize that if our minds can be renewed to think of ourselves as a new creation, as the righteousness of God, as having the authority in the name of Jesus, as having the Holy Spirit's power within us to face any issue in life. I mean, if there's something that I need wisdom on, the Holy Spirit will give me a word of wisdom. Is that right? Just that fast. Just thinking. Oh, yeah. Well, thank God. Your word says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberty. We ask for wisdom now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God we've got the wisdom of God. See, and you just expect. You never lack anything. Your God supplies all of your needs. Can you imagine walking around with that consciousness? It starts with righteousness. Because if you don't believe and if you're not aware in your mind that you're the righteousness of God, then you can't believe for anything else. Because your righteousness is what gives you the confidence that you have a right to ask and believe for anything else. Do you understand what I'm saying? Otherwise, you'll be condemned in your mind all the time that I'm not measuring up. Why would God heal me? Why would God promote me? Why would God help me financially? Why would He restore my family? Why would He do that for me? I'm not measuring up. But see, that's setting your mind on the things of the flesh. But if you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, I'm telling you, things change. I'm telling you, you walk around with the strut, you know, like the brothers, you know. I mean, you know, you do. You walk around, man. Yeah. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about confidence. You hear what I'm saying?
Right.
Confidence. You put this, you know, man, when I was in high school, man, we had a lot of brothers on the football team, man. And they walked different than everybody else. You know what I'm saying? They walked like they were somebody. Even if they weren't, they walked like it. That's right. Strutting their stuff, you know? And I'm telling you, when you know who you are and you're conscious of the fact that you have a covenant with the Almighty God who said, I will do for you anything you need. I've called you, anointed you. I've already planned for you to accomplish things in life. And it's a done deal if you can just keep your attention right here with me. And don't let anybody convince you that you can't do it. Is that true? Righteousness consciousness. Righteousness consciousness. Now, Look at Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. I'm going to show you a scripture that we quote quite a bit, but sometimes we don't get down to the end of it. Isaiah chapter 54, and come down to the last verse, verse 17. It says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." Can you imagine what it would happen if you believed that? You know how many things we don't even try because it could bite us? Huh? Do you know how many ideas that we have that could very well be God ideas, but we don't have the confidence to step out and to try them? And we think, well, I could fail. I could look dumb. I could lose money. Who knows what would happen? Fear. Can you imagine if we just had this idea? No weapon. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. There's nothing anybody can do. It didn't say a weapon wouldn't be formed against you. Is that right? Wouldn't it be nice if it said no weapon will be formed? No, it said no weapon that is formed against you will work. It will not succeed. It will not work. Can you imagine? If you're walking around like you've got all the armor you need, and there is no weapon that can penetrate the armor that you have. Just the confidence that brings you. Just walking around thinking, it doesn't matter what comes against me. What I have from God is going to deal with it. Stop it in its tracks. The shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Is that right? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You shall condemn, not God, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And notice this, it's like a change in who's talking. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. It's almost like God butts into this. Isaiah speaking prophetically by the Holy Spirit, obviously. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And it's like God butts in and says, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Where's it from? Is it from us? Is it from being a good boy? Being obedient enough? No. Who's it from? It's like he just butts in, their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. In other words, their right not to have a weapon formed against them comes from me. Got a problem with that? See? He just steps in and says, by the way, let me tell you why they have this right. It comes from me. I remember when I was in seventh grade. I don't know why, but I joined the band. And my uncle, my namesake uncle, my mom was pregnant with me when her brother, her younger brother, was killed in a car accident named Jerry Don Schultz. And so my mom named me Jerry Don Dearman. And he was a musician, a very talented musician. Musician, there it is. And one of his instruments that he had was a trombone. He played that quite a bit. And so we had this trombone in the house. And so I thought, I want to take this trombone. I'm going to join the band. And so I got in the band. And I don't know anything about the band. But this trombone was fun because, you know, it's not like some of the other instruments. I mean, you can just, it's loud and you get to move the thing. You know, you get exercise and everything. So I joined the band. And there was another trombonist that was just as good as me. Really bad. And we got in there, and we just had a big time. I mean, this conductor, you know, seventh grade, so you know how good it is overall anyway, you know. And so he's, you know, trying to conduct, and we're over there. You know, he hands us music with all these dots and lines on it like we know what to do with that, right? And so we're over there doing this, and he stops us and says, what are you guys doing? Playing the trombone. He says, you're not with us. We're not, you know. So anyway, he had to start charting it out and showing us the stops and what the numbers were and putting the numbers on our page. And so he would do that and everything. And we sometimes paid attention to those numbers, you know, and other times we were just having fun and messing around. And he didn't like that, which was rightfully so. But it got old, you know, because I really wasn't into it. And so I'd show up to band practice and I wouldn't have my trombone. And he'd say, "Where's your trombone?" I forgot it. "And so make sure you bring it tomorrow." So I'd come the next day, "Where's your trombone?" "I forgot it." And this went on for quite a long time. And he said, "No, don't you forget anymore." So I came this one day and he said, "Where's your trombone?" "I forgot it." And he was in a bad mood that day, I think, because he grabbed me by the shirt and he shook me. That's public school. He shook me and said, "Stop forgetting your trombone." So I went home that day, and, you know, I was moping around the house so Mom would notice. And and Mom said, "What's the matter with you?" "Nothing." "What's the matter with you? Something's wrong with you." "What's the matter with you?" "I forgot my trombone and the teacher was yanking it in." She said, "Stop whining. I can't understand you." So I told her and she said, "Oh, he did he? You wait till your father gets home." So Dad got home and I started moping again. He comes over. "What's the matter?" "Nothing." "Boy, what's the matter with you?" "Nothing." And he said, "Tell me what's the matter with you." "Shut up." "I can't understand what you're saying." "Talk right."
"Well, I forgot my trombone and the teacher grabbed my shirt and started."
"Oh, he did, did he? Oh, he did, did he? Well, I'm going to school with you in the morning." Then I thought, maybe moping wasn't a good idea. So the next day, Dad and I drive to school together, and we get out of the car. It was one of the worst things. You know, we get out of the car, and here we are now, for the first time ever, Dad and I are walking into the school together. You know, you're walking with your dad. Nobody else is walking into school with their dad, you know. And while we're walking, he says, "Come on." And he puts out his hand to hold hands. I'm in the seventh grade, you know. Now, times have changed since I was in junior high, okay? Nowadays, you know, maybe you see some of that stuff in certain places. But when I was in school, let me tell you, you stay far away from that. You know what I'm saying? You if you just walk into school with your friend, you know, and just accidentally touch his hand, you jump back and call him a bad name. You know, hey. Right? Is that right? Was that the times? Was that right? Now, today, you know, you don't do that. You don't do that. But back in that day, if you don't do it, they're going to say it to you. Hey, you jump back. And here Dad's walking in. Come on. Puts his hand out. Dad, no. No. Junior high, Dad. So we walk in. And now my dad, he didn't always have a lot of couth when he was mad, especially. And so he walks into the office. Now, this is the reception area. And he walks in there, and the first thing he says is, "I want to talk to the principal about that level." You know, everybody in the office turns to see who says that. And they knew that he didn't have an appointment. Like, he just wanted to, right now, talk to the principal. Okay. What's your name? "My name is Gil Dierman, and I'd like to talk to the principal." He was somewhat ticked. And so the principal finally came out and says, "Yes, what can I do for you?" "I want to know how come this teacher's shaking my boy." I mean, he's mad. Loud. Mad. Principal said, "Come into my office." "Come in." "Okay." You know, so here we go. You know, the principal walking first, Dad walking behind him, here I am coming along behind him. And so we get in there and the principal says, well, who was this that did that? And my dad didn't know who it was. Who was it? Who was it? Tell me who it was. So I told him the name. And so the principal said, well, just excuse me. Let me see if I can get a hold of him. Called him to the office. So we all just sat there. Just waited. Finally, he comes in the office. He walks in the office and my dad stands up. I want to know how come you're shaking my boy. You want to shake somebody? Shake me. And about that time, I'm saying, yeah, get him, Dad. Get him, Dad. Yeah. I didn't say that out loud. I'm thinking, man, I'm behind him, you know. Now, all of a sudden, that teacher doesn't look so big. And he gets all sheepish. Yeah, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I was just frustrated because, you know, it's been a month and he hasn't brought his trombone to band. And Dad looks back. But didn't let that stop him and says, well, I don't care. You have no right to be shaking my boy. I apologize. I won't ever do that again. I apologize. And Dad was fine. And we walked out, and I got my rear end beat. I'll tell you right now. But let me tell you something. God takes care of our sin issues in-house. He does not let anybody else come at you and say they have a right to discipline you. That's family business. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And Dad expects that you're going to be treated with respect and that you're going to be able to be the success of the family that he intends for you to be. And if it doesn't happen, Dad's going to be right there. Their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. You understand? And the devil will come at you and say, oh, yeah, oh, you think you're going to get promoted. You think your life's going to go good. Your family's going to be put back together. Oh, yeah, you think everything you put your hand to is going to prosper. You think you're going to be healed. Oh, yeah, you think, well, look at your life. Look at your right. And God just grabs you and pulls you back behind him and says, his righteousness is from me. Got a problem with that? You hear what I'm saying? Listen, we need to be conscious of the fact that God has done this for us and walk around with confidence. If you've got sin, Dad will take care of it at home. You're part of the family. But you don't ever let anything in life slow you down or tell you that you can't or you're a nobody. You are somebody. Your righteousness came from God, and therefore it cannot be taxed. It cannot be diminished because God never diminishes. The righteousness of Jesus never is deficient, ever. So regardless of what you've done, Dad pulls you back and says, their righteousness is from me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now listen, this is the judge talking. Case closed. Even though you sinned, case is closed. See? And God says, now walk around and think about that all day long, that I got your back. And if there's a problem, we'll take care of it at home. But it should not ever limit you and your effectiveness in life. Praise God. You understand? Righteousness consciousness. Righteousness consciousness. Let's stand up together. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Stretch your hands up to the Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you. We love you. Say this out loud. Say, I set my mind on the things of the Spirit. Who I am in Christ. Who I am in the faith. By the grace of the Lord. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. Nobody and nothing can stop me from being who I'm called to be. Not even my flesh can stop me. I'm right with God. I'm born of His Spirit. I've got the authority of the name of Jesus. I've got His power working in me. I've got the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God, the power of the Holy Spirit flowing inside of me. I'm unstoppable because God's with me. I can accomplish great things, overcome any obstacle because of who I am. I'm right with God. Things are changing for me. Things are looking up. Problems will bow their knees to the name of Jesus when I speak it. When I declare the word of God, it has the same effectiveness as when God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. I've got a right to use His word. I've got a right to use the name of Jesus. Everything I put my hand to from this night forward, it will prosper. It will work because God is leading me. God loves me. He smiles at me. He believes in me. I'm part of His family. And my righteousness is from Him. He said it was. He covers me. He's got my back. He's got my front. So I put on now, by faith, the breastplate of righteousness. My faith in the righteousness of God is a breastplate for me to dissolve condemnation and any wicked, insulting thought of the enemy. Any guilt trip, my breastplate catches it, knocks it down, because I know who I am. I'm not a mere human being. I'm a superhuman, born again, Spirit-filled child of the Most High God. My life will make a difference. And Satan can't stop it. And no one else can. If God is for me, who can be against me? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. I've got a right to be right. I'm forgiven. I'm washed. I'm cleansed. I'm redeemed. And I'm with my God, and He's with me forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now let's thank the Lord for that. Come on. Bless the name of the Lord. Praise God. Bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know how the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. You know how it says that? Well, you can do that by faith when you don't feel joy or excitement and just say, I rejoice in the Lord. But what He wants us to do is to allow this new way of thinking to come over us so that the joy of the Lord comes up on the inside in spite of the circumstances around. John wrote in the same chapter where he wrote about restoring fellowship with God by confessing sin and being in fellowship with God. And he said, I write these things to you that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship was with the Lord. And he goes on to say, I write these things to you that your joy may be full. Because see, if you walk around and set your mind on the things of the Spirit and what Jesus has done for you, it starts to bring joy. I notice that sometimes when I'm in the zone and I catch it again, I get that glimpse and, man, it just strikes me. It's like, yeah, yeah, regardless of what's going on. Sometimes we'll be in prayer and we'll be around in a circle holding hands and we're praying. And the truth of what Jesus has done for us just strikes me again. I just start to giggle. You understand what I'm talking about? I just start to giggle because I think, that's right. That's right. What was I concerned about? That's right. I'm right with God. And he made promises to me. And he's going to keep those promises. What was I thinking? And you start to giggle because you know you're different than everybody else. You're in covenant with God and you're right with God by the blood of Jesus. And so problems come and such, and you just deal with them differently than everybody else because you know you got the joy of the Lord. Can you imagine having that joy all the time? How do you do that? You do that by staying conscious of these spiritual things and let them become more real to you than what's going on in the natural. Is that right? And somebody says, well, that's kind of being a freak. That's being in the zone, in God's zone. And you know, and if you don't think it works, you just try it. And you'll realize that all of these circumstances that seem so permanent bow their knee to the faith that you have in the things of God. And they all change and get out of the way. God makes the crooked path straight. Is that right? Straight. And you say to that mountain, move out the way. Here I come. Right. Amen. See, I'm telling you, there is so much success in this room tonight. I mean, things, places in your life that you have not been successful, now you're going to be. Because you're thinking about who you really are and about what God's going to do through you. Amen. Amen. Just say it by yourself. Say, that's me.